We have been studying in the book of Acts in chapter 14 the record of the first missionary journey which was undertaken by Barnabas and Saul, who were sent out by the church from Antioch, who had gone out into new territory with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we all appreciate and realize what those men were teaching and preaching. When Barnabas and Saul would come into a community and start preaching, or what would you think they would be talking about? Let me suggest to you that they would be talking about how men could have the blessing of God. In other words, everybody has to live, and these men would talk about help in living. Everyone is face to face with the difficulties of this world, and these men would talk about help in overcoming the difficulties in this world. Any human being would like to have peace of mind and heart, and everyone is in distress when they're face to face with frustration and with burdens and with suffering. And these men would teach and would preach about how you could get help in your frustration and in your suffering and in your distress. That's the kind of thing they would be preaching. And what they would be saying would be that God would, through Jesus Christ, help you and bless you. And this is what they had been saying in various places. When folks would wonder who was God, well, when Paul was in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, he would say that the God that he was speaking about was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David. That God, the God of the Old Testament. But when he was over at Lystra and was preaching among Gentiles who didn't know the gospel, who didn't know the Old Testament scriptures, who didn't have the Bible, and they would wonder what God he was talking about, he spoke of the God of nature, who gave them fruitful seasons, and who on every side manifested his goodwill toward the children of men. In any case, these men would be teaching and preaching that the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Almighty God, was ready to help human beings. And they had made this journey and now are on their way home when we begin to read today. I'm in the book of Acts in chapter 14 and will now be reading again verse 22. We looked at it yesterday, but let us look at it again. We read, the sentence begins in verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, that was the city of Derbe, you read in verse 20, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, coming back to their original city, confirming the souls of the disciples. This is what they were doing everywhere, confirming the souls of the disciples. Have you ever tried to understand what that word confirming means? Of course, I know we have a confirmation service in church, but what do we mean when we talk about the soul being confirmed? Wouldn't it mean something like this? We mean that the soul is being reassured and strengthened in its conviction, in its faith. The soul wants to believe in God and commits itself to God and wants to take hold of God in a strong way. Then someone comes along and preaches the same things that the soul has heard, and this confirms, makes the soul more firm in its faith. And that's the meaning of confirming, making them stronger and more sure. Confirming the souls of the disciples, giving them reassurance about their faith, exhorting them to continue in the faith, urging them to continue to respond to God consistently, always turning to God, urging them, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. That for the human being to enter into that fellowship with God, wherein God works in the soul and saves the soul, will involve for the individual much tribulation. That is much trouble. That is much suffering. And right away, let me just put it to you this way. If I, as a human being, am going to turn myself over to the Lord Jesus Christ, I must deny myself. That's the problem. I must say no on occasion to myself, and I must make myself do things that I don't want to do. That's the problem. That's the tribulation. Through much tribulation, can we enter into the kingdom of God? Now, being in the kingdom of God is that I am subject to God, that I'm yielded to Him. He's the king in my heart and in my soul. And before I can get to that state where I am subject to God, yielded to Him, I need to pass through the experience of denying myself. And that's a lot of trouble. That comes in various ways. And to deny oneself, to say no to oneself, to make oneself do the things that God would have you do, whether you want to do them or not, that kind of thing is much tribulation. We must, through much tribulation, it will turn out that we will have much suffering as we enter into the kingdom of God. That is, the old man in us will suffer. That is, the flesh will suffer. The human nature in us will suffer when we want to walk in the ways of God. Now, that's what they were teaching these people, saying, if you're going to live the Christian life, which means you're going to yield yourself to the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to rule in your soul. He will be leading you in the pathway of self-denial and in the pathway of service to God and service to man. That will mean that so far as your human nature is concerned, you'll have to deny yourself. That was what it would mean. And, of course, when you would have done that, you would have peace, and you would have joy, and you would have blessing. You'd have all the benefits that come with belonging to the Lord. Now in verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church, every group of Christian people they came to, they would help these people select from among themselves certain individuals to whom would be given responsibility of oversight over the other Christians. Now, when any group of Christian people come together, they band themselves together into a group, they recognize that not every Christian has the same understanding of the gospel. Not every Christian has the same understanding of spiritual things. And so, because that is so, they commend or commit into the hands of some who are more experienced and who are stronger. They are older in the sense that they're more mature. They commit into their hands the responsibility of watching over the younger Christians. These people who are so selected are the elders, the people in the Scripture that are spoken of as the overseers. Sometimes the word episcopus is used, from which we get the word bishop, and sometimes the word presbyter is used, from which we get the word elder. Now, the overseers or the leaders, the people who acted in the place of the older men who had the wisdom, these men were selected. And they were ordained in every church. That means they were set aside to this service in every church. When they had ordained them elders in every church they had, every congregation, every group of Christian people, they had selected certain men and given them responsibility to watch over the spiritual welfare of the people in that group, and had prayed with fasting. That is to say, undoubtedly, they had prayed that those elders would be blessed, and they had prayed for each group of Christian people. And when it says they prayed with fasting, I take it to mean that they didn't only say these words, but they earnestly sought the blessing of God. And this was done at the expense of their own personal affairs. You see, the big thing in fasting is that there are some things you do not do in order that you might give time and strength over to spiritual things. And they denied themselves certain natural activities in order they might devote themselves to spiritual interests and have stronger faith and to ask the blessing of God upon them. They prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Because after all, Barnabas and Saul couldn't stay there. And by now he was being called Paul. And we could say that Paul and Barnabas couldn't stay with them. They had to leave them. But when they left them, they commended them to the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom they believed. After all, He was the source of their confidence. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch. These are all strange names to us, but I want to pick up this phrase. When they had preached the word in Perga. Now, that's what we've been talking about all the way along. What would that word be? What is that message? And do you and I have the message in mind, even as you listen now? Are you conscious of the message? Do you know what the word of God is to you? God gave His Son for you. You put your trust in Him, He will forgive you your sins. He will deliver you from any kind of bondage. He will never leave you alone. He will regenerate you inside and make you a new person. He will put His Holy Spirit in you so that you will never be alone again. You will always have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart because the Holy Spirit will take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto you. That's the Word of God. And this is what they preached in Perga. Thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. Which is a way of saying that's where they started out from, and this is the way they had started. You remember, when Barnabas and Saul first started out, the church recommended them to the grace of God for the work to which they had been called. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. They had, in effect, a big homecoming. And all the congregation came together and listened to the stories that Barnabas and Saul had to tell of how, when they preached the gospel to complete strangers, God opened the hearts of people and turned them to believe in God and brought them toward Him. And there they abode long time with the disciples, Barnabas and Saul back home, telling of what God had done and rehearsing how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's the way it was done then. And you know, so far as we are concerned on the radio here, the way in which we are seeking to share these things with you people, we could wish that all of you had some way of being able to show that you were with us and that we were with you. And by the way, every now and again, we send out a bulletin to the people who belong to the A&H Club. That's Aaron and Her, the Praying Fellowship. If you don't know about that, you wait now at the close of this program. You'll hear our address, and you write in and say to send us some information about the A&H, Aaron and Her Club, and we will be telling you about how God has doing things with us. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy blessing. Add Thy blessing to those who listen, and encourage them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.